The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It is 4 minutes past nine on this Wednesday. It's the 20th of August, 2025. How are you all keeping? I hope you're well. We're well here. Everyone seems to be in good spirits, which is good, isn't it? Good start to the day. Right, lots coming up over the next 3 hours. We'll keep you across all of the news, local, nationally and international. We try and get in behind the stories, bring you angles maybe that you don't get elsewhere. We're going to have your views. Hopefully, I'll tell you how you send them into us. And of course, we chat to people in our community with campaigns perhaps that they're involved in, issues that are important to them, or indeed anything at all that we feel relevant to the wider listening public. 086 60 25 000, that is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25 000. If you want to give us a call, it is 07491 25 000, and we like your emails at comments@highlandradio.com. You can also reach out to us on our social media as well, of course, and that's where you can watch the show. We're on the Facebook app if you want to watch on your phone or tablet or laptop, and we're on the YouTube app if you want to watch on those devices, but also your big TV in the corner of your room, in the corner of the kitchen, above the fireplace, wherever you choose to have it. Open up the YouTube app if it's a smart TV, which most are now, or you have a Fire Stick, and just watch us there. And we're on the X platform as well. Let's see what's making the pages of the papers today. We'll start with the local out today, the Finn Valley Voice. In a first for County Donegal, a new initiative has been launched to make the Twin Towns a more inclusive community for neurodivergent children and their families. Ballybuffet and Stranola Integrated Community Company has established a committee to lead this project. BASIC, with two C's, met with As I Am, Ireland's autism charity, yesterday, Tuesday, to consolidate the process. We're forming a small committee to advocate, promote and drive positive change. Committee members will have free access to our boardroom at the base for meetings and will provide support behind the scenes so they can focus on the important work. Okay, be interesting to track that and see how they get on. This is a story that will resonate to many of you out there, hence why I have included it. It's in the Irish Independent. An unfair rule can leave people in low-paid work excluded from a medical card, while those on social welfare on similar incomes qualify automatically, it has emerged. So you could find yourself in a situation whereby you are working, you are on low pay, and your neighbour could be on social welfare and the income is similar, except you're probably putting 38, 40 hours in, and they can get a medical card and you cannot. Now, I am not trying to pitch those on social welfare against those working. That's not the motivation of that comment. It's just to lay it out very, very clearly that this could end up being a disincentive to work, because a medical card is a very valuable card, as you might know, particularly in certain circumstances. Well, the unequal treatment needs to be changed, according to a pre-budget submission from the Citizens Information Board, which said last night that it received 38,733 medical card queries, where people whose entire income is from social welfare are automatically entitled to the medical card. Those on comparable non-social welfare income may not be eligible, it said. This means that people on low incomes from work may not qualify for a card, whereas those in receipt of a social welfare payment will. A recent ESRI report highlighted that the income limits for the medical card have not increased for those aged under 70 since 2005, despite 26% price and 45% wage inflation since then. The inequality is a disincentive to work, it said. And I think that makes a great deal of sense. And as I say, this is not about, for me anyway, it's not about the fact that people on social welfare shouldn't receive medical cards. It's that, you know, it needs to be reviewed so that those that need it, who are working, also get it and don't have to jump through so many heaps and go through appeals and, or heaps, hoops, and go through appeals and so on and so forth. Any views on that? 086 60 25 000. Comment as you're listening. A 51-year-old man has died of injuries in hospital following an interaction with Gardaí. This is a story carried in all papers. I'm taking it from the Irish Times. His death is being investigated by Forsu, the Office of the Police Ombudsman, which has instigated a criminal investigation into the incident under powers granted to it by legislation passed last year. It's also been liaising with the Dublin City Coroner and the Office of State Pathologist in relation to a post-mortem. The man became involved in an incident with the Gardaí outside the Holiday Inn on O'Connell Street last Friday. The incident, which occurred at about 4:15 on Friday, was captured on CCTV. The exact nature of the interaction is not clear. It's understood Gardaí observed the man in what they believed was a highly intoxicated state, and while interacting with him, he fell to the ground and struck his head. The Police Service and Community Safety Act 2024 is legislation which allows the Ombudsman to begin a criminal investigation into an incident. The legislation also requires the Garda Commissioner to pass on any matter indicating that the act or omission of a Garda member may have resulted in the death of or serious harm to a person, which is a lot of legalese there. But I think there is some dispute as to whether or not the Garda pushed the person during this interaction. If it's on CCTV, it should be resolved really quite quickly, one would hope. That is a problem with some of those investigations. They can run on for quite some time. And one way or other, whether it's guilty or not guilty, they need to make sure that those investigations are fast-tracked. Interesting to see numbers, actually, on the cost of going to third level. I'm kind of, am I embarrassed to say? Well, I'm not really. Neither of our two oldest boys went on to third level. They just went straight into work. I didn't do third level. So my my understanding of this is from really on this program and chatting to friends and family and what have you. So I never really had to think about the costs, if that makes sense. So the costs are listed in one of the papers today, and they're local as well. The Irish Daily Mail: college students face costs of more than 16,000 this year, new research shows. The total is up almost €600 on last year, with costs in even the cheapest town rising by 9%. So how much does it cost on average to go to college in Letterkenny? Now, this is not really necessarily, I don't think, going to apply to our listenership, because I presume this is people coming up from down the country. With the majority of students in Donegal attending attending Letterkenny LYIT, is it not LYIT? My God, I've gone back about 10 years. They probably commute from home, do they? I don't know. But anyway, someone coming to Letterkenny, the cost is as follows: €14,300. Now, total cost does not include fees. €14,300 on accommodation, €453 on groceries and utilities, €294 on entertainment or gym, €369 on transport, €140 average per month, €1,256, that's an increase up 9% or €129 year on year. So that's a lot, isn't it? That actually, some of those figures seem really quite conservative. But anyway, you can see why families can't afford to send children to college. Because you'd have to earn, if you were a big earner, you'd have to earn €32,000 to bring home the €17,000-18,000 to pay for someone going to college. The Fine Gael race for the Irish is pretty much done and dusted, as reported in the Irish Daily Star. Former Minister Heather Humphreys will be Fine Gael's candidate for the Irish presidential election. The ex-Cavan Monaghan 2 TD confirmed yesterday she put her name in the hat following the party's executive council meeting on Monday. MEP Sean Kelly also put himself forward, but both need 20 signatures from Fine Gael's parliamentary party for an official contest. It doesn't look like he's going to get his. Heather Humphreys is well into the 30s now, and mathematically, if everybody did what they say they were going to do in terms of supporting her, Sean Kelly actually can't even contest it because he can't make up the numbers. But I think I read a quote from him late last night saying that, you know, a commitment may not be cast in stone and he's still in the fight. Well, anyway, this means Mr. Kelly could not receive the required 20 for an internal contest to take place. Both previously ruled out seeking a nomination when Fine Gael first sought a candidate. And it's quite interesting in that I see some newspapers speculating today that her run for the Aris could almost be like a referendum on Simon Harris. He's had a very controversial summer, of course. 32,000 people have signed a petition for him to step down. Even him simply going to an Oasis concert now is divisive. So he's a divisive character. And there is some concern within the party, according to some reports, that her candidacy and whether or not people vote for her or not will be like a popularity contest for Simon Harris. So that will be interesting, won't it, to see how that develops. I say that. Will it be interesting? I'm not really 100% sure. This might sound morbid because, you know, death is kind of morbid. But someone has done and I thought it's somewhat interesting, a survey on most popular songs at funerals. This is the Irish Daily Star. Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman's Time to Say Goodbye is the most popular song to play at a funeral, which is quite interesting. Co-op Funeral Care studied the songs used at services. It's arranged over the past year. The second most popular was Frank Sinatra's My Way, with Tina Turner's The Best and Westlife's You Raise Me Up in the top 10. So it is kind of interesting. It shows people's attitude to death and the end of life, because I think if you play My Way, I think really it's more of a... I don't know, it's as serious as Time to Say Goodbye, if that makes sense. Liverpool and Celtic football anthem You'll Never Walk Alone by Jerry and the Pacemakers was the top sports-themed song. Quirky tunes included Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead from The Wizard of Oz, Dance Monkey by Tones and I, the Jaws movie soundtrack, and We Like to Party by the Venga Boys. So what angle would you go on? Would you go for the Jaws theme? Dun, 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 dun. It's an interesting choice for a funeral, but people have chose this. Now, this smells very much to me like a Britain story. I don't think it's necessarily an Irish story, but listen, whether you want to be serious or not, what would your song to die for be? What would you like to have played at your funeral? If you could play anything, let us know. 08660 25,000. I'd have to think on that myself. And many of you listening, I'm sure, watched the last two nights of The Rose of Tralee. I didn't watch it just because it's just that it's too long for me with what I have to do in the evening with Hudson and everything like that. But anyway, so I didn't get to see it. But I did read that Leash Rose Caitlin Cummins was crowned the 2025 Rose of Tralee last night as 32 roses hit the stage at MTU's Sports Academy in Kerry. Co-host Dahi O'Shea and Catherine Thomas announced the winner, who will be able to trot the globe for the next year with a €25,000 travel bursary. And I'm not sure if she was a popular winner or not. I think they're all popular at that stage. But anyway, hopefully you enjoyed the last two nights, and fair play to Caitlin Cummins. All right. Good morning, Dolores, Audrey and Annie, some of our regular viewers who tune in every day to watch the show, and a big hello to all of you listening in Radio Land as well. We'll be back with our first guests on the show very shortly. One of the stories or issues that we discuss on this show that lights the phone lines up like a few others is dog fouling, and it's not in a particular area. We have it on town footpaths, we have it on roads around towns, we have it on nature walks, we have it absolutely everywhere. People really are peed off with dog fouling and the lack of action. It's a very small number of dog owners that are responsible for an awful lot of dog poo. You see it. You see them pretending they can't see the dog poo. But anyway, so often then we talk about enforcement, right? What's the situation with enforcement? And you may have heard in the news, or maybe you didn't, that data gathered by Vision Ireland from local authorities in 2024 show that not one single fine was issued in County Donegal for dog fouling. So there is no deterrent. The only thing that we can hope is that we keep talking about it and people change their behaviour, but they're not changing their behaviour. So not one single fine in Donegal for dog fouling. Now, unfortunately, we're not on our own on this one, because there were only 48 dog fouling fines issued by local authorities last year, which is brutal, isn't it? Now, we do enforce stuff to do with footpaths, because in County Donegal last year, fines issued for parking on footpaths, which is also a nuisance, Maybe it's not high enough, but anyway, 417 people were fined last year for parking on footpaths in Donegal. How many fines issued for dog fouling? Zero. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. I don't think that's going to surprise anyone. But, you know, I think local authorities need to sort of listen to the views of people and say, right, enough is enough. We're sick and tired of it on our shoes. We're sick and tired of it on the wheels of our wheelchairs. We're sick and tired of it on our canes. And we're sick and tired of it on our feet, our buggies. It's dangerous stuff. But listen, there's just absolutely zero enforcement, quite literally zero enforcement. 086 60 25,000, if that surprised you, if you have a comment in relation to that. Morning, Greg. Parking at the base of Errigal needs to be reviewed. It is extremely dangerous when travelling from Letterkenny to Dunluce. When coming around the bend before the car park, cars are parked fully on the road, which only leaves one lane open. The speed limit there is 100 kilometres per hour, which is fine if the road is clear, but you need to brake hard after the bend. There should be a shuttle bus from Dunluce village or a footpath for walkers. I've passed this on a number of occasions, and you do see the cars there. And I mean, obviously, the cars would be better parked somewhere else. I never saw it quite as bad as you've seen it, but obviously, I may not have been there in the days that you were. But ideally, it's such an attraction. We do need better parking. It is complicated, of course, because that is a special area, isn't it? Staying on the roads, drivers on the road, people. Driving at 20 kilometres per hour should be an offence. Slow drivers, this caller says. People who can't overtake, or even worse, you're holding up traffic. It's not good enough. People take risks then as a result of people who overtake as they are in such a hurry. Now, you've said people driving at 20 kilometres per hour. I think really maybe what you're talking about is people driving at maybe 70 or 80 and 100, if we're being, you know, I don't encounter many people driving at 20 kilometres per hour. So I think really probably what you're talking about is it those, you know, driving 5/8 of the speed limit, probably much faster than 20 kilometres per hour. I'm not sure. Is that a finable offence? Is that something that needs enforcement? At the end of the day, it is the driver from behind that takes the decision to overtake and could end up in a collision. I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just throwing it out different points of view there. Morning, Greg. I have a dilemma. I'm wondering if any of your listeners are experiencing the same invasion of tiny, brown, black, creepy crawlies recently or know where the source is. I can only think it has to do with the heat. The hardware shop gave me powder to put around the house and plus spray for inside, but although they reduce, they're still coming. They're kind of disgusting, and especially when one has visitors. Apologies if discussing this, as I haven't heard you for a while. Well, I'll tell you what happens. That comes up normally when we're doing the gardening slot. It didn't really come up this year as much as it has in the past. And it's actually damp sometimes, you know, if you have store wood around the house next to a wall or something. But anyway, what are these little creepy crawlies? I can't remember. Let us know. And how do you stop them coming in? Flat out vacuuming them, I suppose. Right, now, a fascinating story published yesterday in the Inishowen Independent. An internal audit has issued a scathing report regarding the misuse of Donegal County Council credit cards by members of staff. Almost €1 million was spent in 8 months from January to August 2024 across 276 credit cards. This is a lot of commercial rates or central government funding being spent. The man behind the story is Damien Dowds, and he joins us now. Morning, Damien.
Great, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I wish I got a credit card from Highland. I would hammer that bloody thing.
Too.
All right, so what is the story behind this, and sort of what kind of a grasp does the council itself have on these cards and the spending?
So an internal audit was carried out by the Donegal County Council's own internal auditor into the credit cards that are in use across the organisation. It was a follow-up audit from one that was carried out a couple of years previously. It wasn't expected to be a big in-depth thing. However, the auditor, when he started sampling some of the transactions and purchases made on council staff credit cards, found that there was quite a lot of poor practices being followed, cards were being used inappropriately, and then he carried out a more in-depth investigation and carried out a deeper audit into that, and the findings for that were published in the last couple of weeks on the council's website. So I suppose the key finding on it really is that there's 276 credit cards held by 250 members of staff. That's about, I think, Donegal County Council, probably 1,100, 1,200 staff. So it's effectively one credit card for every four members of staff. €1 million, I think it was €10,000 short, €991,000 spent over 8 months from January to August of last year. If you would bring that up to a full year, you're looking at probably somewhere in the region of 1.3, maybe a wee bit north of that €1 million spent on credit cards. And very often the credit cards are being used in a manner that's not consistent with the council's own policies. The council has certain policies in place for the purchase and procurement of goods and different services. And there's things that credit cards that are issued to staff are specifically not to be used for. And they're being widely and widespreadly used for that. And there's great frustration in the auditor's report when he is highlighting and outlining some of these practices that are going on.
A big proportion of spending comes from a relatively small amount of cards. The single biggest spender accounted for almost 40 grand. Five other cards spent between 20 and 30 grand. I mean, that, like, I can be a spender if I have access to funds, right? I don't know what, you know, what is being bought with this, but this is big, big money.
Yeah, it's a very substantial sum of money. So the top 25 spenders between them, from that top spender of almost €40,000 down to someone who spent about €11,000 over the 8 months, they account for €416,000. So that's probably accounting for a little under about a third of it has been spent by the top 25 spenders. There was some detail done, which I didn't report in the Shown Independent or on Donegal Live, on the big spender, but there was some details on it. It seems to have come from someone in the roads division. A lot of the information is redacted, which is fair enough. Mm. The names and so on are redacted, and that's fair enough. But a lot of the purchases are coming from someone, you know, who's buying items for sewers and road gullies and so on. And the auditor had a bit of back and forth with that individual that they report on, and they're saying that, you know, these items needed to be got because projects that were underway required them, and the council's normal store or procurement process wouldn't be able to turn around in time. So that was where the 39,000, but the auditor is a little wary of.
Well, I'd be a little bit wary about that, because I would have presumed that a lot of this stuff is bought through a tendering process, and then you sort of would have to wonder, is it all being in the one, bought in the one place? Is it perhaps maybe a business that has secured a tender or a deal with the council? You know what I mean? Like, it is certainly worthy of greater investigation.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the point that the auditor makes as well. That particular credit card, there was €39,000 on it, 186 transactions over the course of the 8 months with that, of which almost 16,000 was with two companies based at the same location with the same VAT number, so effectively the same organisation, €16,000 worth of materials or goods were purchased from that. And that did raise issues around tax clearance procedures, according to the auditor, and whether the normal purchase to pay cycle would have been more appropriate. And even down to, you know, when an item is purchased from this particular supplier, the supplier isn't named, obviously, that's redacted as well. A member of council staff then had to go and collect that particular item, whatever it may have been. And, you know, the auditor was questioning whether that was a good practice on it as well. So though that was just the single largest one. So there's €39,000 there. There's, you know, quite a lot of, when you're issued with a credit card in Donegal County Council, as I said, one in four staff seem to be issued with a credit card, which is I don't know too many organisations where a quarter of the staff would actually have company credit cards issued to them. But when you're given one of those credit cards, there's you know, they come with policies that should be adhered to, but the auditor found that those policies are not being adhered to in any way at all. So, for example, you know, travel and subsistence costs are not to be put through the company credit card or the council credit card, and the council staff. And again, this isn't the councillors now. These aren't the councillors that we elect. This is the council staff. They were found to have, we'll just catch it here now, there was over 408 occasions when council staff put their travel and subsistence fees through the credit card to a total of €71,000.
So can I, maybe it's in a, ill-advised, but that sounds to me like they may have stopped and got petrol and something from the deli on the credit card. I'm not saying that's what they did, but when you talk about travel and subsistence, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about petrol, presumably, or diesel. You're talking about food and maybe accommodation.
Yeah,
That could fall under that.
That's
so. In other words, they whip out. You're whipping out the company credit card at the fuel station potentially.
To do that, and the way in which you're meant to do that. I mean, you know, the auditor doesn't say that anyone that took travel and subsistence fees through their credit card wasn't necessarily entitled to them, but there is a process that will be followed within Donegal County Council and within any organisation where you submit your receipts and your invoices, and then you are reimbursed for those afterwards. And it just seems that this has been short-circuited and circumvented. And that's not the only, you know, major area where that's happening as well. The credit cards are specifically, again, a matter of council policy, specifically not to be used outside of the state. That is not to be used outside of the Republic of Ireland, but on 529 transactions were carried out in Europe, the United Kingdom and the United States to a value of $85,830.
That's interesting because they're not buying manhole covers in the United States.
No, so it does look like sometimes when council staff are, you know, some of this might be purchases from online websites or whatever, you know, that may be a little bit of that, but people may be on council business outside of the state and they are using their credit cards for that. Again, something that is expressly forbidden by the council policy and routinely ignored. And I suppose one of the concerns about this in general, Greg, and the one place that the auditor is really concerned about it is that, you know, when people are presenting invoices and receipts for these, they sometimes are not clear, they're not legible, full information and the full detail isn't contained in them. And these are being signed off by the people in management positions who are authorised to sign these off. Are being signed off, and sometimes they don't really know what they're signing off for.
Am I correct in saying that over 10% then of the money spent really can't be specifically accounted for? Is that what unreconciled really means?
Yeah, that's what I take that to mean as well. So so this audit was carried out throughout the first 8 months of 2024, and the auditor was working on that, and he presented his draft audit report in February. And in the middle of January, after the expenses run will be done in the middle of the month, he asked the finance section of Donegal County Council for a rundown on where stood the balance on all these, what we presume is somewhere in the region of €1.3 million worth of purchases, and €150,000 was unreconciled, which means that the invoices, the documentation supporting that, hadn't been provided. And actually the auditor said that the finance staff had told the auditor and the auditor staff that this was a common occurrence, that of quite a substantial sum, as I say, $150,000 in the middle of January of this year was unaccounted for and unreconciled from last year, that hadn't been done. The other thing to note as well probably is that, you know, the previous audit that was carried out by the previous auditor was carried out in, I think it was 2022, and I think it was carried out in 2020, at which time there was 223 purchase cards in use by staff in Donegal County Council. So the council has actually extended its use of credit cards in that period, and the finance staff report that this business of invoices and accounts being unreconciled, that is, you know, that is actually has worsened.
So what were the financial staff saying about this, I wonder? Is that reference, because they've seen an auditor in, I presume they're frustrated if they can't account for all the money, credit card limits are being exceeded on a regular occasion. This would be annoying, I would imagine, for the bean counters, if I could put it like that. So was this, does this sort of maybe back financial staff's frustrations? And also, like, if an auditor to come in, you would expect big change, but we saw a worsening.
Yeah, and like the previous auditor, when they submitted the report, it was submitted to the council. And again, it was submitted probably, presumably to senior management. Actually, that's one of the most odd redactions in the document. The auditor's name is on the document, but the staff, presumably the senior staff to which the document was circulated, is redacted. So we don't actually know which members of staff within Donegal County Council had this document circulated to them. Now, why that would need to be redacted and why that wouldn't need to be a matter of public record is
plausible deniability. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly what it's for, because when the question will be asked by the elected members, how many credit cards does Donegal County Council operator, how much was spent on them last year, how much was left over, how much was wrongly spent, how much was spent without invoices supporting them.
Does it reference how much interest was paid out of interest?
Because actually it doesn't, know, but they
just wonder if they were all settled in a timely manner.
Well, again, the question of interest is only mentioned once in the audit. It did strike me, but they say that it's in the introduction, and the auditor says that the theory behind these cards is that, you know, there's a number of them, it's to reduce the number of purchase orders raised, because purchase orders within an organization, a lot of paperwork and so on, pay orders facilitating reduced processing time, but it's to reduce the exposure of late payment interest. But that's the only mention of interest in it. I don't know, Greg. I would be assuming that Donegal County Council would be clearing its credit card bills every month. And so that they don't be caught for.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
We don't know that. Yeah,
I'm just thinking. You're chasing people down for receipts. Can you clear it before the receipts are furnished? You know, like that's a lot of credit cards to try and keep a track of in a 28-day period.
Which probably would suggest that the bill is being cleared anyway, and then they're just trying to follow up and get the receipts, and they do as good a job as they can in the finance section of that, and they're not getting an awful lot of cooperation from the staff and from the authorisers within the different departments within Donegal County Council. In fairness, you know, they do detail where a lot of the expenditures come in. A lot of the expenditures come in roads and water, and, you know, in some of those examples where they're given details of it, a couple of 20 meters of pipe, whatever is needed to finish a job, isn't available, can't be got very quickly. So they go to a local supplier and put it on the credit card. But the auditor also found that there's a transaction limit of 700 euro. So no one should be spending more than 700 euro on any single transaction with a single supplier on any occasion. Presumably, if you're spending 700 euro, you should be going through the normal pay processes and raising purchase orders and getting good value for money with two or three quotes or so on for that. But the auditors find that there's a pattern of circumventing that, where people will split the bill into, you know, two payments of 400 or whatever.
Yeah, I think if I were a materials supplier in the area and I learned that one particular supplier that wasn't me was being favoured for these, you know, spends to get the project over the line, and there's processes there to ensure that should all be very fair, I might be a little bit peeved off. Stay there. Nicholas Crossan, former independent councillor. This is something, Nicholas, that you've had your eye on for some time. Talk to me about your reaction to Damien's piece.
Oh, very, very surprised, Greg, and good morning to everyone. Of the revolution coming through here. I did ask that question. We, as a whip of the independent group, and back in the 2019-24 group, we meet regularly with a senior management team, preferably the county manager or the chief executive. And about, I'd say roughly around about Christmas of 2023, I asked that question at a whips meeting. And I was to get an answer, but then the time drew on.
But what flagged it for you? Was it a whistleblower, or were you looking at the book, so to speak? Like, why did this pique your interest?
A few things tickled me, Greg. The budget book itself, there's an awful lot of discretionary money within each directive, and I've asked about that on numerous occasions. The other one is working with charity groups and in parochial now and in Buncrana. It's almost impossible for us to get a credit card. for a charity group.
Mm.
And I work with Christmas lights, and there's about four or five suppliers in Bonclana we go on to, and I had to go around them at the end of October and say, look, our boys may be looking for cable ties or plugs or lights or whatever the case may be, and I'll come around on Christmas and pay you. So that's okay. So I have to go around now with a cheque. I have to get a cheque, countersigned, to go on to pay each person. It is laborious, as they say, and not too well up in the technology, but you could do electronic banking with some of them. But that is the position we're in. We can't get a credit. And I was wondering, trying to understand how Donegal County Council could get, and I thought at that time, I did genuinely think about 20, 25 credit cards. But when I'm reading now that there's 270, and a very, very point, Greg, at the very end of the report, there's about 120 to cards that spend absolutely nothing, up to about 150 cards that spend €165 or less. But the significant point of that, there's about 70 cards that spends absolutely nothing, maybe more, 120 cards in Donegal County. It cost Donegal County Council €4,500 to get those cards, because it's €30 per card. Mm. 150 cards by 30 is 4,500, which is money.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of vacancies within the council. Maybe they're waiting for people to be hired, and that's part of the welcome package.
No, this is ongoing. This is just not. Well, I mean, the vacancies for 8 months. I mean, like, in all fairness, if you take it, people take it, there's a list of cards. The spend on the card was €30, and that is for people that has got a card and never ever used it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now, why in under God would you have something that you're not being used?
Yeah.
And then something they oppose and the other side that it's been overused. It just does not. I think there has to be a full overall look at this approach. This is public money. We need good governance in this here. Like, as I said, a charity can't even get a credit card to go around in this day and age to do it. So, as Damien went through the breaches, they're definitely, and come budget time, and it's always talking about budget time. This is where budget time comes in. Why are
Do you know what makes me laugh I've been at council meetings where the sort of discretionary part of the spending budget has been far less than this money spent on credit cards. Like, you've got 38 or 36 councillors at the time arguing about what to do with €270,000 or something, and then you've got over a million Listen, Nicholas, thank you very much for your time. So what's the upshot of this, right? So is it perfectly fine that there's 270 credit cards? Like, I'm trying to sort of get to what the auditor's findings are. Is it the 150 that's unreconciled? Is it the big is it the international spending? Like, in other words, if another audit is done, will they say, right, a million has been spent on 270 credit cards, but it was all in the Republic and there was receipts for everything, so everything's fine? Like, you know, I'm trying to sort of get to the crux of what the story is here that the council are going to have to sort of address, Damien.
Yeah, so the auditor does make a series of reports, which he notes are the same, very many of which are the same recommendations that were made in 2020 and clearly then ignored by the council. So a couple of things is the credit card policy dates from 2016. That was to be updated. It was to be updated in 2022. It was never done. You know, the big thing is that I think in a lot of cases, the policy is being ignored. That's the big thing. It's probably less that the fact that there is credit cards, there will be times when it's needed. That's, you know, that's pretty obvious. Like, but the fact that the policies are being so routinely ignored. So the internal audit recommends that the regular checks of those transactions are carried out by line managers, and that breaches of the procedures and so on are highlighted and are corrected going forward. You know, so they want and more training for staff, obviously, in terms of informing them better of not to be using the credit card when they shouldn't be using the credit card. And exactly, the transactional analysis as well found, you know, incorrect receipts are being uploaded against transactions with insufficient support and documentation, and they're being attached to illegible invoices, and those are you know, it's hard to see how those are being paid out, and yet they are being paid out. And the council is, in some cases, when staff are doing this, and it, many of them are doing it for the right reasons, you know, they needed this particular thing, needed to get it quick, but they're paying VAT on things that probably, if it was done, they're making it more expensive on themselves, because if the council was purchasing this through its normal paying procedure, they'd probably get a better price to start off with. And secondly, they would be able to zero rate things when they're purchasing from outside of the state.
And for me, really, what it boils down to, and, you know, I've, and you've been covering situations whereby, and I'm sorry to bring it back to this common denominator, but with defective block people who are actually on the scheme trying to get payments, you know, paperwork being sent back, sorry, you've misspelt that, or that needs to be double checked. Contractors then waiting 8, 9, 10 weeks because there's so much scrutiny of that documentation. Like, we have a scheme that is so frustrating for people because there's such a level of scrutiny of these applications. And here we have, in a different part, potentially of the same building, a complete lack of scrutiny in some, not sorry, I rephrase that. The auditor has found that perhaps should be more scrutiny because, you know, almost 10% of this money can't really be accounted for. And I think that's what's going to hurt the public, the fact that families are struggling to try and get correct documentation over the line in one area of the council, as it might seem, and I'm making it very simple, whilst in another, it's a little bit of the credit card Wild West. And that's going, that's for me, is the controversy here, even more than potentially the lack of oversight of public money spending.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, you will have had many people on your show. We've reported it many times in the paper here about the hoops that Donegal County Council makes the Micah homeowners jump through in order to access their own money, which is their own grants, the grants that have been approved and given to them. And, you know, if an air code is missing from an invoice and all the other detail is there, that invoice will be rejected. And it seems that when, you know, a Donegal County Council member of staff presents a bill or an invoice that is illegible, is wrong, is obscured by a credit card receipt, that the authoriser within Donegal County Council for that will take in good faith the staff member in that, and that good faith isn't extended to the Micah homeowners. And it struck me when I was reading this that there's probably a very clear solution to this. The county council staff who are working on the Micah scheme should be redeployed to take charge of the credit card scheme, because they pore over every application that is made, and they find if someone has rounded a figure down by 2 cents, they are able to uncover that. So maybe they should move over to the analysing the credit card payments, and the people that are in charge of credit card payments who show such good faith to their colleagues and the staff should be redeployed to the Micah scheme, and then they can approve the bills and the invoices that come in, which clearly are correct, but which the council, for its own particular reason and the bad faith with which it treats homeowners on it, they reject. So they could do a bit of redeployment within Donegal County Council to sort this. And to be honest, 276 credit cards, 1 in 4 people having a credit card. Like, and then as Nicholas said there, many of them maybe not being properly used or not being widely used. There probably does need to be reviewed. And Greg, you mentioned the budget at the end of the year. The executive, that's the council staff, they present the budget to the councillors as a done deal. And then there is a few, like I remember one particular year where the budget debate went on for a long time and €50,000 of library books sorted it. So the councillors themselves fight over crumbs presented to them by the executive. And at the same time, the executive and the other staff in the council are just being flahulach with the public money that's there while denying the councillors the ability to direct finance within the council in the way that they believe as our elected representatives it should go.
All right.
There's a bad mismatch there in that.
All right, listen, thanks for that. Damien Dowd, editor of the Inishowen Independent, read it in full in his paper at Donegal Live as well. As he was speaking, as I was listening intently, someone in this building looks after a credit card, right? And it's just for... But I had to purchase an online subscription, tiny amount of money, right? But this person had to ask me 3 or 4 days in a row for this receipt for this online purchase. I think it works out at something like $78 a year. And $78 a year. And I was chased up for 2 or 3 days. And I was tardy, right? But my point is, in a small organization like this, medium-sized organization like this, you know, that invoice was chased up for 3 or 4 days, and I can be lazy at times. And then you think what's happening elsewhere. It's quite remarkable. Thank you so much, so many of you. If you want to text in, by the way, on that last topic of the credit card spend in Donegal County Council, get in touch with us now, 086 60 25000, and I'll carry the comments I have and your comments on that and so much more besides after the news and obituary notices. We'll be right back. Stay where you are.